Good morning. It is good to be here this morning and to see familiar faces once again. A hearty welcome to each one that has come. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I also want to welcome those that'll be watching this or listening to this later on, or maybe if there's those that are outside in the parking lot, a hearty welcome to those as well. My name is Jay Weeb. And we are blessed this morning to have the opportunity to be here. This morning, I want to start off by posing a few questions and introduce the message in this way. Did anyone come here today hoping, praying, longing for someone to sing something, pray something, or preach something that would strip all your hope away? That may sound strange. Did anyone come here hoping to be discouraged? Did anyone come here today hoping that someone would knock all the wind out of your sails? No. I'm sure nobody came here today looking for discouragement. Nobody came saying, please hurt me, please strip away my motivation for serving God. We all came here looking for the opposite, didn't we? We came here looking for encouragement, seeking hope, desiring to be motivated to greater things in serving God. And we may have come looking for help. So if I told you there was a secret that would allow you to have hope in this world, would you want to know what it was? In a world that is so filled with hopelessness and discouragement, defeat even, if I told you that I knew of a way for you to live life every day and not lose heart, would you refuse to listen? Of course not. That's why we came here this morning, to be encouraged for the road that lies ahead. Our text this morning is taken out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, and I want to read those before we get into the message. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In this text, Paul tells us that he has found the secret to staying encouraged in the Lord. In verse 16, Paul says, "For which cause we faint not." And literally, we can interpret that as, we do not lose heart. Paul knows the secret to not losing heart, and he shares the secret with us in this passage and in this entire chapter. And we want to spend some time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today, and I want to speak on the thought of do not lose heart. I want to show you some truths in this chapter that will help you to faint not, even when life is at its most discouraging. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you, and Lord, again, we realize your love toward us, the grace that you have shown us, and the mercy you have on us, where you have granted us a new day. We see the beauty of the morning as the sun has risen, and it is a promise of a beautiful day ahead that we can use to your honor and your glory. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would be with us by the presence of your Spirit. Each one that has come here and each one that will listen to this message, that they would find encouragement in the words as you have left us in your scriptures through Paul. Lord, this morning we also pray for those who could not be here, for those that are suffering and those that are not feeling well, or those that are suffering loss. May you be with them in a special way. May your Spirit draw near to them to comfort them and to strengthen them. Lord, may you protect us within these walls and wherever it is that we are. That we, through your Spirit, would have strength, and through your Spirit would have hope and encouragement. That we keep our eyes on you, no matter what happens around us, but to remain focused on your love and in your care. We ask your blessing through the name of Jesus. Amen. So at this time, we will start with a couple of songs.
In your red hymnals, number 2, Come Let Us All Unite to Sing. Number 2.
Holy God, we praise thy name. 27.
It almost feels like we have to relearn of being here in the pulpit and speaking to a live audience. So, as I've said before, sometimes excitement and nervousness looks the same, so I'm not sure which it is this morning, but so it is. And as I said before, we are blessed to be here, that we can gather, at least in the way that we can for now. So as I mentioned before, I want to talk about being encouraged and staying encouraged and not getting discouraged. In the service this morning, I have a few illustrations that I'll be using, and I want to start off with one. There is an old legend that tells of how, on one occasion, the devil put his tools up for sale. And each item was marked with a price. There was hatred, there was envy, there was jealousy, there was lying, there was pride, and several other items. Yet there was one item that was well-worn, yet was marked with an extremely high price. And a buyer pointed out the item and asked, "What is the name of that tool?" And the devil answered, "That is discouragement." And the buyer asked, "Why have you priced it so high?" And the devil replied, "Because it is more useful to me than any other tool. It is badly worn because I have used it so much." And I think we would all agree that discouragement is a well-used tool of the devil. If you have been a Christian for any period of time, most likely there has been a time when you have found yourself discouraged. This world is scarred by increasingly ominous conflicts that go around all around us, and regardless of whether they are on the international, the national, or on the local level, we may follow these events in the news and we wonder what in the world is going to happen next. It's easy to lose heart or to become faint when we see the huge shift that has taken place in our culture, from a basis on God, on his word, to a basis of us and self-reliance. It's easy to lose heart when we see a growing shift in many churches becoming more about self than about God, more about gathering a crowd than about honoring the Lord. And then there are personal burdens that so many of us carry. Some of us may be enduring long struggles with health, or the endless rounds of treatments and so forth, and you wonder, when is it all going to end? When is it ever going to get better? Some are enduring great difficulties with loved ones, relationships. Life at home maybe has soured and you don't rest, and it's hard to find peace. Some of you may say, "My life is not what I want it to be. This isn't what I signed up for. Or I never thought I would find myself in this situation that I am today." So we want to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to read the entire chapter. I just read our text words before, but we want to read the entire chapter to get the context of where, at the end of the chapter, where Paul relates this of what we read in our text. So 2 Corinthians 4. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." See, there's the word again. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of this truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death by Jesus, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound the glory of God. And then the text words, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In verse 16, Paul says, for which cause we faint not. That is an amazing statement. The word faint refers to a failing of the heart. So then the phrase could be read this way, we do not lose heart. Paul is telling us that regardless of what comes his way, he does not give up. He does not give in. He does not give out. He does not lose heart. It is so easy to lose heart, isn't it? It's so easy to come to a place where you are ready to throw in the towel, lay down your burdens, and just quit. But that's human nature. That's the human spirit, or it can be the human spirit. Some years ago, there was a bus driver, he drove for the New York City Transit Company. And all of a sudden, one day, the transit company was missing a bus and a driver. And it seems that they had just vanished into thin air. And the authorities looked for this bus and this driver for more than a week. Finally, 10 days later, after the man and the bus had disappeared, he was found, bus included. Remember, this is New York City. New York City is up in the way up north in the eastern seaboard of the U.S. And they found the man with his bus in Miami, Florida. That's all the way down on the south end on the east coast. And when the authorities questioned the driver, he said, I had it with the cold weather. I had it with the passengers. And I'm tired of my family. So one day when I got off work, I thought, I wonder what would happen if I just took off from driving. So that's what he did. He took off for Florida, where he enjoyed the sun and the surf for over a week, all by himself. Have you ever felt like that? Haven't we all felt like that bus driver at times? We get so frustrated and aggravated about life that we either want to pull our hair out or just simply run away. Brothers and sisters, life is full of pain and disappointment. We think things are going to be thus and so, and find out that they are not what we expected at all. Bills may be piling up, maybe our health is failing, marriages become difficult, people hurt you, people disappoint you. You've become mentally exhausted. And may even think, why bother putting in the effort anymore? And who knows? Perhaps there have been times when you have doubted, why am I a Christian? Or maybe the thought has even crossed your mind, why don't I just quit the Christian life? You started out with high hopes, a better life, a happier life, a more fulfilling life, and maybe found out that it was a lot tougher than what you had expected. You may have thought that all your problems would go away, and they didn't. Temptations may be stronger than what you had expected. People are not always as nice and helpful as you thought they would be. And you begin to think after a period of time, what's the use in coming to church? Why not just drop out and do what everybody else in the world is doing? Sometimes our situation in life seems so hopeless. We've dropped the ball and we have no desire to pick up that ball again and run with it. Maybe you've been knocked down time and time again and you just want to quit the game. Folks, Paul, writing to the Galatian church, reveals the antidote to giving up. If we turn to Galatians chapter 6, in verses 7 to 10, Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's the word again, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now we need to remember that this is Paul speaking here. And we know that Paul's life was anything but easy. If we go back into 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 to 30, Paul relates his life experiences in kind of a nutshell. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Yet in spite of all these trials and tribulations and burdens, Paul is able to say, I never lose faith. Can we echo that statement that Paul says that I do not faint? Is there any one of us that can say, I never get discouraged? I never want to give up? I am always encouraged, excited, and energized about my life and in my walk with the Lord? I sincerely doubt that any of us could say that truthfully from the heart. We all stumble from discouragement at times. We all want to quit on occasion. We all want to just stop and give no more because we feel that we have given all that we have to give. We faint because we tend to forget our purpose and we forget our goal. We want to look further at the Apostle Paul's admonition to the Christians in how to maintain a positive outlook in our walk in life. But before we do so, let's take some time on bended knees to pour out our hearts to the Lord in silent prayer. And at this time, I would invite all of you who are physically able to go with me on your knees and bring whatever lies in your heart before the Lord in prayers. Would you kneel with me? May the Lord hear our prayers and strengthen us with his Spirit.
In the red hymnals, number 150, Oh, Have You Not Heard of That Beautiful Stream? 150.
Sing that beautiful stream, oh, sing.
As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul uses the term of faint not twice in that same chapter, and in other chapters also, as we read. It says, we faint not, don't lose heart. That's what we all need, isn't it? Somehow we must not lose heart in life. And if we have not done so, we need to discover Paul's secret. Paul's secret for not losing heart in life is given in this chapter. So let's consider 3 points that we can take out of this chapter, 2 Corinthians 4. And we want to touch on 3. Firstly, remember your responsibility. Secondly, we need to combat the enemy. And thirdly, we need to develop a resiliency in our faith, in our walk. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have this ministry. Or we could say we have this responsibility in life. We all need to accept responsibility for our lives. It's easy to pass the buck, as it's been said sometimes. It's not my responsibility, or what happens to me is not my responsibility. It's somebody else's fault. I'm going to use another illustration. It's of a certain patient that is in a hospital, and he's knocked over a cup of water. And it spills on the floor beside this patient's bed. And the patient is afraid that if the puddle is there and if he gets up out of bed, he will slip and he will fall. So he asks a nurse's aide to mop it up. Now, this patient doesn't know this or didn't know this, but the hospital's policy was that small spills were the responsibility of the nurse's aides, while the large spills were to be cleaned up by the hospital's housekeeping staff. So the nurse's aide decided that the spill was a large one, and she called the housekeeping department. And a housekeeper arrived and declared the spill to be a small one, and therefore an argument follows. It's not my responsibility, said the nurse's aide, because it's a large puddle. The housekeeper did not agree. Well, it's not mine, she said. The puddle is too small. And this exasperated patient, he's watching this going on, listens for a while, and then takes a pitcher of water from his night table and pours the whole thing on the floor. Now, is that a big enough puddle for you to decide whose responsibility it is? Friends, all of us are faced with certain responsibilities in life. And some of them are large puddle responsibilities, and some are small puddle responsibilities. And naturally, our human nature is we tend to prefer the small puddles instead of the big ones. But we all know that it doesn't always work that way. The Apostle Paul was a man who understood and fulfilled his responsibility in life. And he said, we have this ministry. As in Paul saying, I have this ministry that I take responsibility for. And then we need to ask ourselves, what is my ministry? What is my ministry in life? And do I take responsibility for that ministry? As humans, we all have a desire of fulfillment. And part of that fulfillment is feeling worthwhile or having a feeling of self-worth, and that comes from being responsible to the ministry that has been applied to our lives, that we have been given. And it isn't always easy. In fact, it is often hard. But it's that responsibility that God has laid on our hearts. When we take them seriously and fulfill them to the best of our abilities, as God has given us ability, is when we will have that feeling of fulfillment and the feeling of worth. Second point we want to look at is we need to combat the enemy. Going back into our scripture of today, in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world. Who is the God of this world? The devil or Satan is the God of this world. Many people in the world are messed up or mixed up because they've been listening to the God of this world. There is a supernatural evil force in the world that is out to blind people's minds and to destroy their lives. Apostle Peter warns about this or talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Apostle Peter says, you know what, you're not alone, you're not the only one. This is common to man, this is what Satan does. He is out to destroy, and it doesn't matter who. If we are going to make it in life, we must be alert to what is going on, and we need to be aware of our enemy and who our enemy is. It's been said that you need to hold your friends close and you need to hold your enemies closer. We need to be aware of who it is or what it is that is out to destroy us when we get discouraged. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 also says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We often get this confused. And when people hurt us, we lash out at them. We need to remember who the true enemy actually is. That it is the devil working through people. He is our enemy. And we need to combat him. And we need to take a stand and fight against him if we are going to make it. Peter said, resist him steadfast in the faith. And how do we do this? By putting on the armor of God. Not on our own strength, but on the strength that God will give us. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we are fighting a spiritual battle against some big guns, if you will, you need an even bigger gun to win the battle or the war. Our bigger spiritual weapon is the Lord. Our God is mightier than the God of this world. Without the Lord, you won't win against the God of this world. Satan is bigger and stronger than you or I. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to put on Christ in order to combat the enemy of discouragement. To combat the enemy and to keep from losing heart in life, we need the weapons of studying the Bible, of prayer, of worship, of Christian friends. These are how we receive Christ's strength for life. As I said before, remember, the devil uses others to bring you down. But let's not fight against man. We need to take a stand against the real enemy. And then the third point we want to look at is resiliency. What is resiliency? Resiliency is the ability to bounce back or to come back when you're down. In verses 8 to 9, of our scripture today, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul knew about heartache and headache. He knew about stress, but he didn't let those things get him down. He may have been down temporarily, but he didn't stay down. And that's the important point. He always bounced back. He was resilient. I work in the automotive industry, so I want to use another illustration on resiliency. At least this is how I can relate to it. And we know that cars and vehicles, they all have tires. Now, originally, the tires that were put on cars or in vehicles were made of solid rubber. They didn't have any air in them. They were a solid piece of rubber, and the idea was that they were hard, tough rubber, thinking that they could withstand the rigors of the road. But what happened was this solid rubber was too hard, and it was too brittle for the harsh road conditions. So the rocks and the potholes would smash these solid rubber tires to pieces. And not only the tires, but also the wheels and probably the entire vehicle. Then they started making tires that were filled with air so they would have a little give to them. And they could absorb the shock of the roads, of the potholes. And that's the tires we know of or have today. Tires that have resiliency, that bounce back when they are hit by a rock or a pothole, or a curb, or what have you. And it takes the shock from the entire vehicle, not only the tires. And it makes them last longer and everything else around it. Because it rolls with the punches, we could say. And that's exactly what we need in order to not lose heart in life. We cannot make ourselves so hard that we break at the first sign of trouble. We must learn to bounce back. We must learn to endure. We must learn to be resilient. Every one of us is going to experience trouble in life. I know it varies to a great degree. Some have many more challenges than others. But what we do with the trouble is another matter. Some people hide. Some people run. And some people run to the Lord. Life rarely turns out the way that we expect it to. We have to make the best of what we have been given. There's an old saying that I'm sure most of you have heard before. It says, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade. And don't we all admire a person that has an attitude like that? When whatever is handed to them, they take it in stride and move on. If we're going to make it in life, we must learn to bounce back from defeat. We must learn to turn our defeat into victory. And the only way that's going to happen is if we will focus on the Lord and not on ourselves. Not focusing on human beings, but focusing on God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Friends, the truth is, we do get discouraged in life. That's because we are human. We are still human even though we are Christians. But discouragement doesn't have to be a controlling factor in our lives. We all get down. But we don't have to stay down. Praise God. The biggest factor for all of us is that God is still God. He is almighty, he is all wise, he is all powerful, he is present everywhere. He is eternal. He is here. He is here with us. He is with us when we are down, and he is with us when we get up, and he will help us to get up. The apostle said it well in Romans 8, verse 31. He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? With our loving God in our corner, how can we lose? How do we not lose heart? We do it by seeing that the inward man is being renewed day by day. If you look back into verse 7 in our chapter today, it says that, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are earthen vessels. We are weak. And we need power, a power that is outside of ourselves if we are to stand. And that power comes from God. In our text words, in verses 16 to 18, we are challenged to get our eyes off this world with its sin and its problems, and we are told to look beyond this life to the one that is to come. We are to look at the long-term goal. In that coming world, the cares of this life will seem as nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And my prayer for all of us would be that we could keep our eyes on Jesus. And when we get down, that we look up and rely on him to get up. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the relevance and the realness of Scripture. For there are times when we feel that we are in the same shoes as Paul was, and we are tempted to lose heart, and we know ourselves to be outwardly perishing. Some of us are broken. Some of us have complicated relationships. Some of us have old hurts that are giving us pain. And sometimes these things are far more in our minds than anything else. Lord, we go through seasons when our troubles neither feel light nor momentary, but that they feel too much and too always. Father, thank you that we don't have to pretend that these emotions don't exist. Thank you that we don't have to dress them up to try and hide the pain or the ugliness, or that we need to do anything to receive your grace. Lord, we know that your grace is for sinners. It is not for the competent. And your mercy is for messes. It is not for the glamorous. Your strength comes to the weak and not to the self-reliant. Hope is for the ones who have lost heart. Thank you for your promise in today's scripture that you will renew our inner man day by day. Lord, may you impress that promise in the forefront of our minds today and in all the days that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, for all of the things that you may feel a need to pray, I invite you to once again go on bended knee and bring to God whatever lies on your heart. So for those of you who are able, would you kneel with me in another time of silent prayer? May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful to us all.
In the red hymnal, page 549, "Let us depart, Lord, with thy power." 549.
And it was just as we were singing the last song, I was thinking to myself, isn't that the perfect prayer to end our message today? And I'm going to be honest with you. When I was thinking already 2 weeks back what I was going to talk about this morning or present here today, and I had a topic in mind that I was going to, what I was going to do, and I started working on it, and at the beginning of this week I worked on it, and I worked on it. And you know, if you ever had done a task where it seems you cannot gain any traction and it just doesn't work, and you get discouraged and think, why isn't this working? Why isn't it working? And but towards the end of the week, and I believe that the Spirit was talking to me, I changed the topic and I started all over. Changed everything I had done to that point and started afresh, and then it began to flow. And my prayer is that your hearts will have been strengthened, that you will be encouraged today. And I know myself, as probably all of us, there's times I do get discouraged. And this past year, there's times when it gets to the point maybe where we have this dark cloud over our heads and we just tend to get stuck in that rut of dark. And I want to apologize to you if there are some of the messages that I've done may have seemed to be negative. That isn't the intent. But I hope that we can be encouraged and strengthened to go forward with the challenges that we face, realizing that if we look to God, that He will give us what we need for our day-to-day walk, being renewed day by day. Let's close with benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. And may you go in peace with the Lord.